I will read from Luke 15, verse 1 and 2, and then we will read from 11. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then verses from 11. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I've done something I said I wouldn't do last time, is I've got another bit of technology. So I'm hopeful we have some sound today. Go on, press play and let's see if we've got some. Yeah.
Go on.
What is that?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. No. No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No. No. I'm away.
So, children, who knows best, you or your parents? I wonder what you think. Do you know better? That was little Jimmy, my brother's little baby. He obviously thought he knows better than his father. Don't we always think that we know best? We want to live life our own way. It seems the best way to make us happy, doesn't it? We want to do things our way. We want to play the computer games we want to play. We want to wear the clothes we want to wear. But what if that isn't true? What if living our way isn't the best way? So today we're going to look at the parable of the lost. I'm going to call it the parable of the lost son. Your Bible might say the parable of the prodigal son, but I think more accurately it should be the prodigal of the lost son. Now, young people, can anyone tell me, what is a parable? What is a parable? Rory. That's right. So something Jesus told his followers, that's true. So it's a story that's not real. Absolutely. And it's a story and it's got a spiritual lesson. Really good answer. So in this parable that we've just looked at, we're introduced to this youngest son who wants to live his own way. He doesn't want to listen to his father and he thinks he knows best. And it has disastrous consequences. But to understand this parable, you have to look at the context. You have to look at why Jesus told this parable. So if you look back at verse 1 and 2, which Pavel read for us, have a look at what is going on. Have a look at the situation Jesus is in. Jesus is being surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. Okay? These are sinful people. These are tax collectors. Imagine the scene. They're all around Jesus. And looking on are the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And they're grumbling. And they're saying, I can't believe that Jesus is letting these sinful people hang around him. They're grumbling. They're thinking, Jesus should send these sinful people away. Jesus shouldn't be wasting time with these bad people. Jesus, we are the good people. We're the religious people. Why aren't you spending time with us, listening to us? And Jesus knows what they're saying, and so he tells three stories. Now, I've lost my keys, young children. I've lost my keys. I woke up this morning, I'd lost them. Do you think you can find them? I think they're in the room somewhere. You might have to get out of your seat. Have a look round. Anyone know? You might have to get out of your seat and walk around. Anyone see my keys? I've lost my keys. I'm stressing out about it. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Good job. Good searching. Thank you. Oh, that's a relief. That is a relief. I wonder if you've ever lost something. I'll put it in this pocket. Thank goodness. If I didn't have my keys, what would I do? How would I get home? We'd be stuck. We'd have to leave our car in the car park and it'd be left at school all week. Well, all summer. That'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Losing things is awful. So, I don't know if you've ever lost your cuddly toy. That's pretty devastating, isn't it? Yeah. You have, yeah, it's really, that makes people really sad. Cry. Adults, have you lost your keys or your wallets? Can you remember what that makes you feel like? Or maybe the worst thing in our modern society, your phone. Have you ever lost your phone? What would you do without your phone? Your life would be over. But it's a really happy thing when you find a lost thing, isn't it? When I've lost my keys and I find them, isn't that such a good feeling? Well, Jesus, he talks about three things that were lost. So he told a story in verse 3-7 about a sheep, a shepherd who lost his sheep. He had 100 sheep, he lost one of them, and then it was found. He went to find it, and he brought it back. And he says in the end of that passage, verse 7, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So that was his first lost thing, a lost sheep. The second lost thing in verse 8-10 is a coin. There's a woman. She's lost one of her coins and she's searching for it. And when she finds it, she rejoices. She is really happy because she's found this coin. And it says at the end of that passage, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy over a sinner who repents. And finally, he tells this longer story about a son. He's a younger son. And he's twice, in verse 24 and verse 32, described as lost. He's a lost son. Like the lost sheep and a lost coin, the son is lost. And Jesus wants us to learn something about lost things and how God thinks about lost things. So we're going to focus on this parable, and we're going to focus on the three characters. We're going to focus on the youngest son, then we're going to look at the father, and then we're going to look at the oldest son. And we're going to see what Jesus wants us to learn from them. So the first one, the youngest son. The younger son, verse 12, comes to his father. He says, "Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me." He divided his property between them, the father. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered. That means he lost it all. He squandered his property in reckless living. And I want to sum up this son's way of living with some signs. Everyone's wondering what the why is up here for, because I've got some signs for us. Right. So, this is how I want us to think about the youngest son. First of all, let's put this side. He wants to live my way. That's what he's doing. He's saying, "I want to live my way." That's the first thing he wants to do. My way. Not your way, Father. I want to live my way. And he wants this, let me put the second one up, right now. He doesn't want to wait. It's an inheritance, so he's going to receive an inheritance when his dad dies. He doesn't want to wait. He wants it right now. I'm going to squeeze through here. And the third thing I want us to see is that it is without you. He doesn't want to do it with his father. Okay? Let's repeat that back to me so I know you've got it. So it is, first one.
My way, right now, without you.
Brilliant. A bit louder.
My way, right now, without you.
Good. Okay. My way. I want to live my own life. Right now. He doesn't want to wait for it. He wants his share of the property. And without you, he doesn't want anything to do with his father or his brother. He wants it right now. He wants it his way. And he doesn't want anything to do with his dad. And guess what? This way of living is how we nearly all try to live in this world. We nearly all try to live our way right now without God. That is how we want to live. So you might, an example of this, you might think, why do I come to church? I would have preferred to do something fun on a Saturday, go out late, and then have a lie-in on a Sunday, Church is hard work. Wouldn't it be much nicer if I was just in bed right now? That would be better. Or maybe you think, maybe on a Sunday, I would much prefer to play for a sports team. I love sports. Sport is better. I mean, this church stuff, this God stuff, it's a waste of my time. I don't need God. What I want is sport. That's the best thing. I want to have fun right now. God can wait. I want fun right now. Maybe some of you are going to head off to university and you think, that's a chance for me to enjoy myself. My parents have held me back. My parents have stopped me having fun. But when I go away, they're not there to watch me. I can have fun. I don't need to worry about God. He's cramping my style. This might be the way we think. We don't need God. We can live the better life. But what does Jesus say was the result of this young boy's going away from his father? What was the result? Well, in verse 14, we read that he wasted his money and he had nothing left to feed himself. In verse 15, we read he has to work with the pigs. Now, in Jewish culture, that's much worse than even we would think. We would think, oh, I don't want to work with the pigs. But in their culture, pigs were unclean. So that's the worst thing that you could do is go and work with the pigs. And he's so hungry, he wants, Nassim, if you can do the next picture, he wants to eat the pigs' pods. And I've got a picture of a pig's food. Now, every picture you get of pigs' food, it is disgusting. I don't exactly know what pods are, but like, it's vile. And he is so hungry, he wants to eat that stuff. And he's jealous of his pigs. And he's like, I wish I could eat that pig's food. That is how hungry he is. He is desperate for food. And he goes, my father's servants, even the lowest people in my father's house, they have food to spare. And here I am starving to death. He's starting to question his attitude to life. He's starting to think that my way right now, without you, is maybe not the best way to live. And so he's humbled and he goes, I'm going to return to my father. And he prepares a speech. He's going to go back to his father. He says, I've sinned against you, Father. I've messed up. Let me live as a servant, but at least I'll have food. At least I'll be okay. And before we move on, let's think about this. If this is the way that we think that we should live, we think about Jimmy, I'm do it my way, not your way, Dad. That's what we're born doing. We want to do things our way. If we live that way, what happens? Hopefully, at some point, we realize that God's way is better, that God is a provider, that God is someone that we should go to. Now, children, what would you expect your dad to do if you do lots of bad things? What would you expect your dad to do if you do lots of bad things? Yeah. Turn off your phone. Yeah? That is a very brutal punishment there from Andy Davis. To turn off your phone. Yeah? Punish you. Yeah, absolutely. I would have done. We would have had the smack bottom, I think. Yeah. Destroy your PC console. That is very extreme. Yeah, you'd expect... Yeah, go on, Toby. Send you to your room. Okay. Is that the worst it could get? If you're sent to your room? Is there anything worse than that? Sorry? Xbox taken away is the most extreme of the punishments. Okay, very good. Yeah, that's what we expect our parents to do, isn't it? When we do bad things in this life, we expect people to be punished. And this son is expecting to be punished, but he's going back to his father. But what do we find in the story? So number two, the father. Listen to how the father responds. Listen carefully. There's lots of things the father does when the son comes back. It says in verse 20, the son arose and he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, okay, he's a little speck in the distance. He's coming back. See him in your... He's coming back. He's in the distance. His father saw him. And he felt compassion. His father loved him. And his father ran. And his father embraced him with a big hug. And he kissed him. And the son, he starts doing his speech. He's got a speech ready, so he starts doing it. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father doesn't listen to him. The father says to his servants, quickly, bring the robe. Put it on him. Put on a ring on his hands. Put shoes on his feet. This is all stuff that represents that this son is his son, okay? The robe, the ring, the shoes, they're all pointing to the fact that the son is still the father's son. And the father is making a big deal out of this. And then the father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead. He is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, how does the father's attitude change from that of his son's? Well, I want to suggest that it's actually very similar. The father wants to do things his way. He stays at his house. His son has to return. It's still my way. More surprisingly, it's also still right now. He says to his son, he doesn't say to his son, you have to work really hard to get back my love. He doesn't say you have to do lots of chores before I'm be happy with you. He says, no, you can have my love right now. But one thing has changed. We'll change this over here. Instead of being without you, what's it going to be? With you. That's great. With you. My way, right now, with you. That is the way the Father wants lives. My way, right now, with you. And he loves his son. Did you notice that? He was looking for him in the distance. He ran to him. Men in that culture didn't run. That was very unseemly for them to do it. But he ran, and he loves his son, and he embraces his son, and he kisses his son. And he says he was lost, but he's found. He was dead, but he's alive. Do you realize what God is saying to you about his love towards you? If it's not obvious already, in the story, God is the Father. And Jesus is trying to show you something. He's saying that God's love is amazing. God's love is incredible. God's love sees a sinner who's messed up, and he wants them to come back to him. And when they come back to him, he's going to run to them, and he's going to love them, and he's going to embrace them, and he's going to throw a party. So we're going to do a party. Right, who's younger ones? Come here and have a party hat. This is a party time. Come on, up you come. Party hats. Go put that on. It's party time. Get those hats on. Right, there you go. Oh, it's a perfect number. Right, go sit down. Right, youth group. Where's the youth group? Up you come. It's a party. You're going to have party poppers. Everyone knows that. Don't point them at people's faces. Right. There you go. Party popper. It's party time. Right. And now we're going to see how well these guys are at timing. There you go, party popper. Back to your seats. There you go. So, every time, you got to do this right, okay? I'm going to get one. Oh, Happy wants one. Right, every time a sinner becomes a Christian in heaven, I'm going to give you a countdown, okay? There's a party. So, 3, 2, 1. Yeah! It actually worked. So, every time a sinner becomes a Christian in heaven, the angels celebrate. There is a party. It's party time because God loves lost sinners and he wants... This is really cool at that corner. And he celebrates. And he's telling this story to say, look, this is a celebration. I love lost sinners. I want them to come back to me. And if they come back, I'm going to kill the fan calf because it's party time. Party popper time. So that's what we have to learn. But there is a problem, because there is a third, not a third person, who's the oldest son. Because I don't know if you noticed from the story, but the oldest son is very upset. He is very upset. How dare my father throw a party? How dare he? My younger brother has wasted all his money. He is a sinner. He is a bad person. He deserves a punishment. How can my father throw a party? It says in verse 25, the oldest son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry, and he refused to go in. Who can do your best angry faces, young people? Okay? Some of you are really angry, some not so much, some just look ambivalent. Any other good angry faces? Oh yeah, there's some good ones back there. Good. Yes, he was angry. But who is the oldest son like in our story? The oldest son is like the religious leaders. The oldest son thinks that they deserve God's blessing and that they don't like Jesus being with sinners. Let's go back to the oldest son attitude. See, the oldest son still wants it to be his way. He says, I want it to be my way, where I get the privilege because I've stayed and my youngest brother doesn't get anything. He wants it to be right now because he says to his father, you didn't even give me a goat to celebrate with my friends. But we're going to go back. The youngest son says, let me change it over, my way right now, without you. Because he doesn't want to celebrate with his father. He refuses to go into the party. He doesn't want to go in. He's not going to celebrate. And he says to his dad, you never gave me a goat to celebrate with my friends. He doesn't even want to celebrate with his dad. He just wants to celebrate with his guys. And so Jesus is teaching us a lesson. He's saying, don't be like these religious leaders. They think they're serving God by keeping the rules. Maybe they're like people who go to church, who think that they're really righteous, but they don't love sinners. They're not like God. What does the father do? The father loves sinners. But what does the oldest son do? He hates sinners. He doesn't want anything to do with them. But the father wants the oldest son to see that if he wants to truly follow in his father's footsteps, he needs to love those who have messed up and who need forgiveness. So do you think you deserve God's love because you're good, or that you're not as bad as someone else at school? Then see in this story that God says that we all don't deserve God's love, but he's shown us grace. That's why we've been singing lots of songs about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God wants us to realize, we're just finishing, so listen to me carefully here. God wants us to realize that we are undeserving of his love and we all need his mercy. God wants us to see that we are all sinners, every single one of us, and he wants us to see how much he will celebrate if we return to him. If we come back to him, he and his angels and heaven will celebrate when lost sinners come back to him. But he also wants us to see that we shouldn't sit here and think, I'm all right, I'm righteous, I don't need to ask for forgiveness, I don't think that person over there should be saved. No, God wants us to be like him and show grace towards others who are lost. Let's pray. Dear Lord and God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for telling us this parable that shows us just how great your love is. That though we run away, though we sin and we mess up and we go astray in so many different ways, that if we return to you, you will be there waiting with your arms outstretched, ready to hug us and run to us and to kiss us and to say, there's a party for you because you were lost and now you're found. Lord, we pray that we would be like the younger son, that we would realize that it is better to go back to you, to live your way right now with you. And I pray for anyone who is sitting here today who thinks that they're righteous, who thinks they don't need forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would show them that everybody falls short of God's glory, that no one is righteous before a holy God, that we wouldn't sit here grumpy about God's grace, but that we would be excited to tell other people that you love us and you have forgiven us, even though we were undeserving. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.